Welcome to episode 21. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Yes! Great day, amazing humans. I'm so excited for this next episode of Own Your Thrive. And yes, you know, I say that every single time, but really and truly, this is like the best episode I'm going to be doing today. Like, so let's just get going. So I'm about to interview and have a conversation with a multi-award-winning actress, a philanthropist, a mother, and global speaker. She's a multi-talented public figure from Nigeria. Put your hands, your ears together for the amazing Kate Henshaw.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I am so excited about this interview. You know why I love about it? Because full transparency. And yeah. I was like, do I say it? Do I not? And I'm like, you know what? This is all about being real. I didn't know who you were. Okay.
That's okay.
So, yeah. So people need to understand how this amazing opportunity came to be. So I did the speech when Goldcast picked it up this year and decided to post it. It was a speech I did last July. And so, Kate, you wouldn't know this, but it was a competition that I spoke at. And I had a message about You Matter and the importance of people being able to look in the mirror and look at themselves and tell themselves that they matter. Yeah. And I placed fourth at that speech. I was the very first speaker of the night. And the speech was huge. Like, the room was about 200 people. And wow. I've been interviewed before about the speech. And I said the speech was so big. And based on the outcome of it, I realized that it was never God's plan for me to win. Okay? Because even when I stepped on that stage, the emotion of sharing a message that I knew should hopefully help people be able to, you know, start to look at themselves and recognize that all they need in life is inside of them, right? And the that you want has to start from within. And so
absolutely.
It went viral last year. Goldcast didn't pick it up last year, but this year, randomly in February, they reached out and said, hey, we saw this speech of you online. We'd love to produce it. And I was like, okay. And then it ended up being that. And I remember the day they put it out, it was the Tuesday of the same week you did. And my Instagram went nuts, right? Like, people were DMing me about the message and that I touched them, and people I didn't know from all around the world. Yeah. And then it quieted down Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I went into my Instagram and again, it blew up, and I was like, what's going on? So I went and somebody had tagged me and I found you, and they had tagged me on your post, and I was looking through all the comments, and you're from Nigeria, and I was like, oh my God.
What are the odds? Right? What are the odds?
And I had to DM you to say, and it wasn't about, I just had to DM you to say, thank you. Thank you for making this message go viral, because I want to show you something, because this is my vision board. And in here it says, the best way to make $1 billion is to impact 1 billion people.
Yeah.
And so I've been on a mission. I realized my life is designed for global impact. And
absolutely.
I've always wanted to do something for Nigeria. I didn't know what it was. I just wanted to be really proud of my heritage. And and anyway, so long and short, you helped with that. And by spreading the message in a country that I didn't even know. And so let's just talk about what that message meant to you and why you chose it, and you mentioned it was because of your Kate. You had your
figure Kate model competition was started off on the back of noticing that a lot of Black women, Nigerian women, were changing their color, bleaching, and I'm like, there's something wrong. An old school friend of mine, who I still haven't had the courage to ask her why she did it. And I went back scrolling. You know these things, we post pictures on Instagram or on the internet, it never goes away. So if someone wants to really see you like 10 years back, 20 years back, they can just pull up your picture. And I knew her, we went to school together, but she's totally changed. Her color is like the other spectrum. And then people around me, and I'm like, what's going on? And I felt that there have to be some other girls who are feeling some type of way. One time at a hair summit, African hair summit, I met some very beautiful, dark, really dark, like Alec Wek dark. I mean, that's a dark that I adore, you know?
Yes.
Just when she smiles, you see the light, you know? It's just rich. And I hugged her, and she started crying. Like, I told her she's beautiful. She said her friends told her, if only she'll, you know, rub a bit of cream, she'd be more attractive. I'm like, no way. So I started the Figure Kate movement just to encourage young girls, because it starts from a young age where people start to mess with your mind, your person. And I had a lot of DMs, even from married people telling me their husbands told them they need to tone. They call it tone, just to make it sound, you know, better. And then it started. And then 2 days to my event, I was looking for stuff. I follow Goldcast a lot because I find a lot of things they post there speaking to me, a confirmation to me, inspirational to me. And yours popped up, and I'm like, wow. I actually shed a tear. I'm like, just imagine that. And I'm like, yes, you do matter. You do. And the first time I played it was on my event, which was March 6th. And the hall was silent. It was up on the big screen. Everyone was quiet. Also, because, you know, people at events, they'll be blah, 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 blah. but they were quiet. And at the end, there was a thunderous applause. And I'm like, yes, I picked that, and I picked one other one, two videos from Goldcast. And I'm like, wow. And I said, put it on my page so that people will also see that if you listen to the words, you know, words are very powerful.
Yeah,
the words that we speak to ourselves and then go on to speak to others have a way of affecting us.
Well, it's the power of the tongue, right?
Exactly. It depends on how you choose to look at it and receive it. And the comments, I'm like, what? I didn't even know who you were. I didn't know who to tag, because I like to give credit. What they say, I stole it. I'm like, okay, it's Goldcast. Yes, their logo is there. So, hey, I ain't no thief. So, and then you went, you were now tagged, and then, you know, in the message, you said your mother was Nigerian, in Kechinyere. I'm like, she's our sister. No wonder. Power. And then I went to your page. I saw that you're a fitness addict. Like, I said, there you go. There's something happening.
There's so much integrated.
I'm like, this body that have been, my muscles, I mean, like, whatever. Jeez, I need to up my fitness game, you know, and all that. So that just clicked it for me. And I'm like, wow, I made the right choice, totally.
And you know, when you shared in the DM about the epidemic of bleaching in Nigeria, let me tell you, my mom is 80. She's going to be upset and put her on blast. 82 this year. and as soon as you said it, I was like, my mom used to talk to me about that when I was a young girl, right? Because I didn't like the skin that I was in. That's why I founded this organization called Empowered in My Skin. And it wasn't until I was 40. Mm. And that speech is really about telling that story at the age, like, it took me 40 years to be able to be proud of this melanin skin that I'm in, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you had a tagline called Reach, Not Bleach,
yeah.
Yeah, can you, where did that come from?
Reach, actually, it was someone from my team, you know, and he were just, you know, throwing around hashtags. There are different ones I had been using. Black is beautiful, black gold, melanin pride, best grade of melanin baked in something. And then there was a noir et fier, black is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then I said, oh, reach, not bleach. I'm like, you mean like reach as in money? He said, no, reach. I'm like, oh, that's true. You can reach anyone. You can reach your full potential without bleaching. And I know countless women, my color, your color, who are doing phenomenally without having to touch their skin. So reach your potential, reach the world. Don't bleach. So that was why we came up with the hashtag reach not bleach.
And a question for you, because I know that you're a public figure, you're an actress, you're in Nollywood, and so there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. Have you ever in your career, has anyone ever asked
ever,
you?
Never. I come across as very strong. So, hey, before you approach, you better, okay, you know what I'm saying? Arrange yourself very well.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll be honest with you. So so it's funny because to the listeners, when Kate responded back to me in DM, first of all, when I sent the message, my intention when I send things like that is never to get a response back. It was really just to be grateful for you. And your response back moved me beyond everything. And that's what led to us being on this podcast. Yes. And I've been very mindful because I didn't know who you are. And now I have a Nigerian group, like a WhatsApp group. And I told them I met Kate. They were like, oh my God. Even they want to be, they were like, is this interview going to be live? Can I be there? She's my hero. And so and then one word that really touched me, she's a human with integrity. So I said, let me look more into you. So I have watched your movie since, by the way. And I know it was really good. I can't remember the name of it. I can find it on my Netflix really quickly. I said that is important to me because I'm very intentional about who I connect myself to. And you are.
Have to be.
Oh my God. And I was like, I have to get her on my podcast. My podcast is all about showcasing humans that are thriving. So can you talk to us about, when I ask you the question, what is the brand Kate Henshaw? What can you tell me about the brand?
The brand Kate Henshaw is authentic. The brand Kate Henshaw is convivial, is humorous. The brand Kate Henshaw is alive and kicking. Does it. I'm ready to go at the drop of a hat, disciplined, dedicated, and I don't suffer fools gladly. I don't. Yeah. I mean, people would say, "Oh, you're arrogant," but I see it as confidence. I see it as recognizing who I am, because if you don't know who you are, they'll tell you who you're supposed to be. So you have to have a sense of self. Always, I tell people, have a sense of self before you can then want to project anything on anyone or say, oh, this person has to be like this. Own yourself first. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself some fantastic things. Me, I'm just myself. I mean, I'll be in the mall. I'll hear music. I'll start dancing. I don't care if the president of France is there. The music is nice. Hey, he's hitting the right zone. I'm going to dance. What's the problem?
And have you always been like that? Or was there something in your life that brought that out?
Have I always been like that? I'll say in secondary school, and you guys call it high school, we call it secondary school here. very active. I mean, when I finished, I got the prize for the most versatile student. I was in the debating, dramatic. I ran, I did athletics, choir. I was a social prefect. I tried to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I was basically just out there, not afraid to try anything. At least you try, you fail. You know not to try it again, but you tried. You know, so then life happened and I'm like, okay, things happened in my life, divorce, fire, where I lost everything. And I'm like, am I going to take this and let it define me? And I'm just going to move on. I'm alive. So I'm going to start again. And those things have helped shape me for who I am, knowing fully well that my purpose is not for me anymore. It's to tell people that you are strong. You can do it. If I went through this knowing who you say I am, and I'm still here. How much more you? You don't give up until you're dead.
And so that, you know, what I tell you is you take more out of adversity than adversity is taking out of you.
I choose to.
That's the word. That's a mic drop.
I choose to. I choose to. I choose my happy. I choose to be happy always, to laugh, you know, to not let things get me down. Because what's the option? What's the alternative? Yeah. I stay down. And then people who will seemingly help you for a while, they're going to leave you because you're no more encouraging them. You're draining them. Each time they come into your presence or call you on the phone, you have some sob story. Come on. you've got to, there are people worse off than you. Yes. I mean, we have this proverb they say in Africa or Nigeria that when everybody brings their problem to a gathering and you hear other people's, you will pick your own, put in your pocket and say, I'm going home. This is, I'm good where I am, you know, yeah. So that's it.
Right. Once you hear that somebody has a bigger problem than you,
you're like, ah.
Hey. I think I'll keep my...
Thank you. But I know how to handle this.
But in all fairness, and let's talk, because this interview will be publishing soon. So we are in this thing called COVID-19. And yeah. I think what's really phenomenal about it is you're in Nigeria, I'm here in Toronto, Canada. We're experiencing the exact same situation. So we've leveled the playing field in life for everybody.
Yes.
But
yes.
How is this situation for you? And I also do believe our life's a platform. How are you using your platform to help others at this time?
For me personally, I have donated to, because I like to go through organizations. They have the data, they have the statistics, mm-hmm. they have the structure on ground. Mm-hmm. Donated to a few charities that are doing donations. Mm-hmm. And then just on my page, just putting out some positive stuff, talking about the things that affect us in Nigeria because of our lockdown, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, speak to the powers that be, mm-hmm. they'll listen, that we need to create our own unique approach to this lockdown. What mm-hmm. obtains in Canada cannot work for us. We don't have social services. Mm-hmm. So you're telling people to stay at home. You're not giving them much of anything. Mm-hmm. If at all you're giving them something, it's not enough, mm-hmm. because most Nigerians, 80%, 70, 60, live day to day. A lot mm-hmm. of informal sectors, if they don't go out for the day, they won't eat for the day. Mm-hmm. So how long are you going to feed them? It's 1 month already. The mm-hmm. palliatives are not going around. People are complaining. There's a lot of stress. All businesses are shut down. Mm-hmm. Now, these are the people that are in the majority, as opposed to those of us that can manage. We can stay locked down 3 months, 6 months, mm-hmm. you know, just manage our savings and all. But these people do not have savings. Most mm-hmm. of them do not have bank accounts. Mm-hmm. So we need to create something, maybe restrict movement without mask, try and do something that is peculiar to us, not just copy from what obtains abroad. These people abroad, your people, they have the structure. They do social welfare. They know the data of the people in a particular area, so they know what to take to them. But we don't have that. We're just, let's copy, let's lock down. Okay, after 2 weeks, let's lock down again. Mm-hmm. And then robbery has increased. People are just going about, people are disobeying because they don't get it. Mm-hmm. They don't. What are you saying? They're saying it's mm-hmm. a rich man's disease. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and then there is not enough information being put out there. Yes, the state where I'm in, the governor is really trying, giving us up-to-date, you know, broadcast and all of that. But it still isn't enough. There are 200 million people in Nigeria. And even when the government had a chance to show that, hey, this COVID is real, they also bungled it. So people are like, oh, you people can have a funeral and go and stand. Right. 100 of you, why are you telling me to stay at home? I'd rather die of COVID than hunger. That's what they say.
When I first learned that it had entered into Nigeria, I believe, because I speak with my cousin weekly, and mm-hmm. he had mentioned it started with Ground Zero was an Italian man
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that was in the hospital.
Yes.
So I was more concerned about, you know, some of the rural areas, the areas where communication is really hard to get to. And I just always hope that travel for some way, you know, wouldn't sort of get into those areas. So how have
they left it too late? They left it too late to lock the borders, to lock the airports. They left it too late. I mean, they were not sure how it would come or the severity of what COVID meant. So they left it too late. If at the time when this Italian came in, that's one person, you locked everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd have the numbers we're having now. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd still be in lockdown now, because for one person to infect 1,000 people, which is where the figure we're at now, it's going to be so hard. And then it was left open. People kept on traveling, coming, and people would come back, lie about where they went to, lie about their health status, lie. And then you didn't enforce isolation. You left them to do the right thing. And you know, human beings, given a chance, they will choose wrong over right. So you leave them to go and self-isolate. They don't. They go to a private hospital because, hey, they don't want to be with the rest of us out there. And then the private hospital now gets infected, not knowing it's COVID. It's after they've treated They now found out that the guy has COVID. Then by then, everybody around you is already infected. And those people now start going home. So
right,
domino effect.
So question for
that's
you.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And question for you, because I have also learned that you have done politics. Or you,
yes,
you dabble in politics.
You'll have to. Head shook.
No, that's. I watch My Nigeria. So
yes, yes, right? Yes.
And that was anyway. I mean, I could talk to you forever. By the way, we might have to do another interview.
I would love to. I love your energy.
I'm maybe putting you on the spot, but I'm putting you.
Feel free, please.
So I'm putting you in a position right now where you can speak to the 200 million Nigerians with a message. And you can also speak to people like myself who are outside of Nigeria in terms of how we can help somehow. What are those two messages to the internal Nigeria and the external?
Well, external and internal, we're now experiencing the same thing. I want to say that leadership must have a human face. It's very important that the way you treat yourself is how you want to treat the next person. Oof. Because if you're selfish, you're not going to want to. The way you treat yourself is how you're not going to want to see the next person go through that. But selfishness, greed, avarice is what rules. And I'm saying for internal and external, you must have human face. Because you think you're safe with your car, your big house, and everything. You can't go anywhere. Yeah. We're all together now. So what gives? What would have happened if you had made ready arrangements for everyone to enjoy the same things? We wouldn't get to this situation. If you had made healthcare okay, if you had made electricity available, I mean, you will still be very rich, trust me. Yeah. But then the other people wouldn't be looking at you as if you're denying them the basics. So it's basically have a human face. Yes. What you wouldn't like done to yourself, don't do it to someone else. Others.
That's really key. So to everyone listening, it's everywhere. I truly believe that Canada is no different. We've leveled the playing field. And I think if each of us take responsibility of being a leader.
Yes, in our own little space.
Right, right. And give this situation, like you said, a human face.
Yes.
It's important. There's a lot of people out there that are risking, like we call them our frontline workers. I'm sure you have some, right?
Oh, I had to take, sorry, Nkechi, I had to, sub our health minister, because I mean, these are people don't care for anybody. These are people who are working in the front lines. They're working while the rest of us are at home, trying to treat people, trying to make, you don't protect them. Then they ask you, are they getting an allowance? Yeah. And then you say, you don't know, they're doing their normal job, like testing for temperature. I mean, that's so insulting. What do you mean testing for temperature? Some of them have caught this virus. What do you say to their families? If it was your family, if you had a nurse in your family, would you do that? You wouldn't. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
No, people don't have hearts. Most people don't have hearts.
And we need to give love and shout outs to the front line, because
they're
suddenly the heroes and the sheroes.
They are the ones.
Right? They are the
working
ones.
Working around the clock. I mean, I don't know if you watched Global Citizen the other day. Did you watch it?
No. Tell me
about
it.
Oh, you missed. Oh, wow. It was a broadcast on TV that had, from Hollywood, that had Oprah, Lady Gaga, Jennifer Lopez, John Legend.
No, I didn't. This wow. people, oh, I have to watch you missed it. I have to go find it.
Find it. It was truly amazing. It was a 1 hour broadcast. And, you know, they showed singing Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli, you know, singing, talking about COVID and how they appreciate the frontliners, the health workers, and they are the heroes and they deserve everything. And it was so touching to me. I even posted the song they played at the end, which is one of my favorite songs from Yolanda Adams and Donnie McLaughlin, Let This Be Our Prayer, you know, because I find out that music helps. Music helps your mental
well-being.
Music
is the language we all speak.
You know, you need to go and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Okay. Just truly amazing.
So question for you, because, you know, I truly believe we're energy. We're an energy being. So where do you draw your inspiration? Like what feeds this? Like,
only God knows, Gechi. My friend, my colleague Richard Dominic calls me Energizer Bunny. One of my pastor friends, he calls me Energy. Energy. One of them, when I another friend was like, say, Kate, why is your voice so active in the morning? I'm like, I'm awake. I'm alive. Are you not happy? Oh God, this girl. They're like, oh, here she comes. Oh, everywhere is taken over.
But where do you get it from? What do you pull from?
It's from God. It's from God. And just realization that being able to wake up is not of your doing. That means you're not done yet. You are not done yet. You have another chance. If everything failed yesterday, today is a new day.
You need to get out of my prayers. You need to get out of my prayers, yo. Every morning I'm today. Like, God, thank you.
Today is a new day. Day before yesterday when I prayed, I just said, thank you. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just saying, thank you, everyone around me. Thank you for me. Thank you for the world. Just thank you. Have your way. Just do what you want to do. Because, hey, all the science, all the intellect, all the money, everything has failed. So who else? Even those that don't believe, there is God. There is.
Yeah, there's a God. When did you recognize and when did you start using your life as a platform? Like, did you know you were going to be an actress? Did you know?
I'm a medical microbiologist. That's what I studied in university. And my youth service was in Bauchi General Hospital. And the acting was just happenstance. I wanted to be a doctor. Yeah, I wanted to be a doctor because I wanted to help people. I wanted to save lives. And then I found out that I don't like blood. And I'm like, which doctor don't like blood? You must like blood to see it or stand without fainting. Okay, that's finished. Let me try something else. Then medical microbiology. And then I found acting just per chance, because like I told you, I wasn't afraid to try anything. So I was a model on magazines. Mm-hmm. I shot my very first TV commercial for Shield deodorant back then in 1990. Mm-hmm. I did all sorts of stuff. I went for auditions. I was a sales girl at an auto fair. You know, I was an usher here. Anywhere there's something to do, I wish I enter. Let's see what's going on here. What's going on? What's happening? And then I can find out whether it's for me or not. So that was how I met the late JT Tom West. A friend of mine who's now passed on. Mm-hmm. And we met on a musical video set. I was one of the girls hanging at the back of the car. You know, the car, the rooftop was open. I'm like, hey, jokes apart. Hey, you know, what? She's like, I did it all. You know, so he invited me for an audition. I'm like, what's an audition? I don't know what. What does it mean, audition? And then I went anyway. And then that led me to here 27 years later.
And I love that.
Wow. Somewhere along the line, I now realize that I'm still going to help people, but with a much bigger platform with who I am, because I already have the recognition given to me from above. Nothing special about me. Then it behoves me to use it for the greater good, be it on speaking on issues that I'm passionate about, like domestic violence, child rights, child marriages, just basically stuff that is inhumane. I mean, I've taken part in protests on the streets here in Lagos many times, not caring if I died or not. I just said, this is wrong. Oh, we're gathering. Let's go. Let's go. You know, so that's basically it.
And did you see this in your life? Like, were your parents, what are your parents or your, like?
Nah. No, at all. My dad wanted me to be a doctor. Okay. He really did. And when I told him that I wanted to be a musician, Kichi, let me tell you, hey, I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be so many things, you know. So I said, I want to be a musician. Back then, you dare not tell your parents.
Oh, especially Nigerian parents.
You're not doctor, lawyer, architect. You are not.
Engineer.
Those big names. You are not. You will leave this house. You will go and do that subject somewhere else, you know? So my dad said, no, nehi, no way, no how, you know? But, and he actually stopped paying my school fees.
Yeah.
By then I'd been working. I saved my money. I'm very frugal. So I said, don't worry. Yeah. I'm going to pay. I paid my way through university, at least the last 2 years. And then I just said, no. This thing that I'm doing now, this is where I'm meant to be. I just believe it. I just have this knowing in my heart that it's for a bigger purpose than just being popular.
I love that.
Being beautiful, bags and shoes. Because remember, 2015, June 25th, 2015, I lost everything in the fire. So, hey, thoughts of suicide and like, oh, then someone said, read Job. I've always read Job, but that it didn't make sense to me then, back then, as it did at the moment when I went through what I went through.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important. So what's the biggest lesson that you have learnt to date?
That human beings are wealth. Human beings are wealth. I remember when I had the fire, strangers, people that I hadn't even spoken to. I had so much help, calls. At the time, I had to plug my phone in my car just to, because it was dead. There was no light in the building. I went into the car to plug the phone. Calls, Kate, what can we do? Oh, we heard. What can we do? Oh, I'm like, these people, I've not spoken to in years, you know, and they were just coming. What can we do? I was totally overwhelmed. People brought things, toilet roll, you know, whatever. So much so that where I was staying with a friend, I had just one room. You can imagine, Kechi, Jesus, living in a three-bedroom house, two living rooms, and now moving to one room. This is as Kate Henshaw, okay? So I'm like, the room was filled with stuff. I couldn't move because this bag here, that bag there, this one here. I'm like, this is me. So now people are wealth and things don't matter to me. Things have no meaning. If it all goes again, I'm like, hey, I've already seen your part one. So, hey, everything can go. So I guess God wanted to teach me a lesson because I was one of those people who like to look at my things. You know, I enjoyed touching my things, my shoes. My shoes are my pride and joy because I have these unusually big feet. So shoes, if I travel, I'll come back with three cases of shoes and half of clothing, but shoes. So I had them all around. Imelda, Marcus would be jealous. Shoes everywhere. Yes. I would just walk around the house. Sometimes I'll just open it and look at it, put it out, you know. And just, I think I was paying too much attention to things back then. And I needed to be brought back. I mean, looking back, I'm like, did you really need all those things?
Yeah.
And look at it now. Do you really need it?
Right.
Who has gone to any party, wedding, wearing anything?
So there's a message, there's a lesson I want to try and see if I could pull from you. So you've rebuilt your life. I think that, first of all, that's phenomenal. I think there's a lesson to be learned about losing everything. And I know you call them thins, those thins that we put so much importance in idolize.
Yeah. Yeah.
To now rebuilding your life. So when you look at what you've rebuilt though, how do you look at it now? Like when you see these thins, because I'm sure you've accumulated thins again.
Yeah. Oh. How do you know? Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I walk through this house. I won't even show you. My trainers alone can feel a room. And I walk through. I'm like, Kate, you started again. You started again. I'm talking to myself like, okay, I'm going to move house soon. And I'm going to make sure I only have what I need. Everything extra. I've even called a few friends. I'm moving. If you want anything extra, please come and take it. I'm already going. Each time I walk through my shoe closet, I'm like, it's too much, Kate. You started again. And I'm talking to myself like, you started again. You need to let go. You need to, and it's not as much as before, but I'm like, people give me stuff, Kate. People give me stuff. I can buy a little, but all they do these days is buy me trainers. Trainers, like, that's what I wear to anyway. If I go for a meeting, trainers. Kate, I know you exercise a lot. Take, you know. So going forward, it's like, be more people-minded. And I'm one person, without even having to beat my chest, I try to be there for people. Mm-hmm. If you need me, I will be there, whatever time. I don't sleep anyway, so hey, whatever time. I'm one of those people, my phone is on anytime. So call, if I wake at 2 or 3, I'll call you back. You know, so it's people, because people will never forget how you made them feel. Ooh, you know? They will never.
Not at all.
They will never.
I will never forget this encounter because you are making me feel so full of life, and I can't. We are gonna. There's gonna be some. There's some collaboration, Nigeria, Canada. Something is happening. Something is happening. But what are you? So what are you most proud of right now? Because I feel just pride just oozing out of you.
That I'm strong. Yeah. That I am raw. I am original. I am authentic. And that I mean, you can't catch me off guard. You always catch me as Kate. Mm-hmm. Morning, noon, and night. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing I always say to people, that if you're down on the ground, if you keep yourself down on the ground, when you fall, it's easy for you to stand up, dust off your clothes, and move. But if you put yourself high on the roof, mm-hmm. when you fall, there's going to be some injury. You're going to remember that fall. But hey, on the ground already, I might as well just stand up and move on. So mm-hmm. don't think too highly of yourself. Just stay down. Stay down. Trust me, down is better. Down is better. With down, you can reach up. Up, where do you want to go again? Nowhere.
And I believe that we actually need to fail. So that fall is important, because yes. it always teaches us something.
Yeah, but what's the degree of the fall, Nkechi? If you can minimize it, why not? Why make it so big?
I still think you learn the most in your biggest failures. Because here's the thing, when everything is great, we're just great. Like even in this season now, I have learned so much about myself. I've seen some fear, you know, fearful places, and I'm like, yeah, let me attack those, right? Like I want to get beyond that. This had to happen for me to see that. So I think the falls need to, personally, I just think
falls are good. Falls are good. You'll keep falling till the day you die. You'll keep falling. Right, even in the things that you think you have mastered, you still fall in them.
Right.
You know, because you're thinking your confidence is too much. You're thinking, oh, I got this. Hey, be careful.
Right.
Because just check it. Every day, every time is a new experience to deal with. I mean, like on stage. I've been doing stage for years, but there's no time I'm going on stage for the first time that I'm not nervous, that my tummy doesn't have butterflies, that my palms are not sweaty, that I doubt myself that, Kate, can you do this? But I've been doing this for so long. Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking to someone who has been in that business older. He says to me, you need that. You need those nerves to be able to ride it. You need those nerves to keep you in check. So that's what failure does.
But see, even that is important, because for me, if you're not feeling nervous, then you're not doing something that fears you enough that you could fail. And maybe that's what I meant more. Like
I get you.
We should do those things that make us feel so fearful that we could fail.
The fear I had going into holding that figure kid competition was just, that event was just, God took it over. I mean, my budget, it was mostly my money. Even the sponsor I met, he was like, they were like, oh, we're not sure we want to do this. Oh, okay. I'm like, do I really need you? I'm going to do this thing by myself anyway. I'm going to follow it through, because I'm not one who starts something and let me see the end. Then I'll know whether it's for me or not, you know? And then the money, every day was money. I'm like, gosh, Kate, woo! Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you really sure? And then we paid for a smaller hall that could take maybe 300 people, 200. Mm. 2 days before the event, the owners of the event center say the hall is no more available, Nkechi, that the roof has caved in. 2 days, they're moving us to a bigger hall that's costing much more money. I'm like, we're not going there. I thought of canceling, like sending messages, it's all over next year. And then the guy who was coordinating for me, plus my best friend, Funke, said, we're going to make it work. I'm like, okay. They're not taking extra money. They're saying, the same amount you paid for the small hall, we'll give it to you. Well, how do I fill the seats? Mm-hmm. Now there's 1,000-seater hall as opposed to 300. And so we just decided to divide the hall into two. I'm telling you, the space that I left was at least 500, and it was filled up. Wow. It was full. So, I'm telling you. I'm like, whoa. 6 o'clock was the red carpet. Nobody came in until about 6:45. It's just like everybody, whoa, rushed in. I stood there 6, everything ready. I'm like, oh God, are they going to come? Is anybody going to show? Oh Lord. Oh, Kate, there you go. You see?
So you
should manage Instagram. Just stay on Instagram. You came out to put your leg out, said, okay. And I stood there. It was full. Everybody loved it. Standing ovations. Everyone I spoke to come and perform. Nobody asked me for a dime. I was just beside myself in tears. I'm like, I looked at myself like, who are you? Like, Kate, no, I'm coming. Kate, no, I'll do it. You. Wow.
Love it.
You know, amazing.
So there will be another?
By the grace of God, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to do it. Why stop? Just do it. I set the money aside and do it. Do
an
it.
Annual event.
Annual
event. I must be there at your next one.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I must. It is a must. I'm coming with my best friend. Speaking about best friends, I believe our environments, the people that we keep around us, are important. You just mentioned your best friend. I want to know about your bestie. Tell me about her.
Ah, my ride and ride, because ain't nobody dying. It's not ride or die. It's ride and ride. We say ride and ride. I call her my blood. You see, Funke, I say something, she ends the statement. She says, and I'm like, God, check your mother. Are you sure we're not sisters? She's the cool, I'm the fire. She's the ice, I'm the fire. You know, if I'm like, oh, blah, 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 she's like, calm down. And then she'll just walk away and leave me ranting. Oh, blah, blah, blah. She'll come down. Is everything okay? Now, this is what I'm saying. Me, I'm like, God, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's the logical one. She'll always give excuses like how, oh, maybe this is not her. Think about it this way. She's just a sister to me. I don't even think she's my friend. She's my sister. She has my back. In short, if you tell her anything about me that is not right, she'll tell you straight up. You see this one, you're saying it's not Kate. But if it's the other one, I can tell you she can't do it.
And what's her name?
Funke Kuti.
Oh, and what does it mean?
They know us when we go out. When we go out, if they see her walking through an event, they are looking behind. Where's Kate? You know, where's your sister?
And how long you guys been? How long you guys been friends?
15 years.
Yeah,
it's not so long ago. It's not as long as others.
15 years is a good amount of time. Yes, my best friend and I have been 22 years. Yeah.
Yes, I mean there are people who have known longer who have let me down. You know, but I said, hey, that's human life. I'm not holding against anybody. Yeah. If Jesus can suffer persecution, who am I? If he can be betrayed, those who eat beside him, c'est la vie.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I'm coming to Nigeria with my best friend. So just wait.
Hey, you must
Four of us are going to hang out. So what's your moonshot? What's that big plan for Kate?
Oh, wow. That big plan is to be able to be that person that inspires. I know it sounds maybe small, but that when you see me, that you will see my life as impacting on yours and telling you that you can do even better than I am. Mm-hmm. That when I speak the words to you, you will clearly believe and know that, yes, you are capable of. So it's basically to inspire, to influence, to encourage brave, courageous living. You know, don't fear anything. Yes, like you said, failure. Just go. Just go. You're okay. You're okay. If you fall, dust your knee. The wound is there. Put iodine. Keep moving. Just go.
That's
go.
Beautiful.
Keep going.
That's
keep
beautiful.
Going. Because when you leave this earth, there's no coming back.
And so now I'm going to tell you that you are going to achieve that. And so describe, if you can close your eyes and think about what the world feels like when everyone is operating in that, what does that world, can you describe that world?
It's a world of energy, light everywhere, so blinding that, you know, we're basically floating and everything is
levitating, right?
Yes, I'm telling you, that just came and we're just, you know, light, it's bright, white. And it's gorgeous, it's magical, and it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm standing behind you on that. It's going to happen. Yes, more of us are going to come along, especially after this podcast. People's light have been lit up.
Yes, yes.
They'll
be like, where's that candle? I've been hiding it. Hey, put it on. You should bring me two more candles. Light them all up. Yes.
So some quick rapid fire, just as I wind down here with you. So when you think of thriving, who's one person in your life that you're inspired by that really you?
My mother. My mother.
My mom
is such a strong woman. She never gives up. She's so hardworking. My mom could be in a house alone. She would clean it from top to bottom. She would cook every day. She's not those microwave people like some of us. We warm food. Her food is always fresh. I made my mom a nice kitchen with a cooker and everything. She still cooks outside under the shed. She refuses to use the cooker. She has this hut where she has firewood and stove. And I'm like, do you have a cooker? A full range.
It won't taste the same.
She has her leaves growing in the back, so she plucks her water leaf and her stuff. She has chickens there, she'll kill it. Why not just buy chicken that has been plucked? No, fresh chicken. My mom still goes to the market. Her knees are always on the ground. Mm. And she's one of those people who still has her Fruit and Loom underwears. You know, Fruit and Loom.
Right, I remember that. In the bag, they come in the bag with the
with the small flower.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my mother. Do they still look
clean?
The same?
Clean and white.
And white
as white without bleach.
Wow.
Without bleach. Hand wash.
On the stone or
hands? Just a hand wash. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Wow. So growing up, there's nothing I can't do. Kitchen, nothing. I used to grind pepper on the marble stone. I used to grind pepper, fetch water from the well. I did it all.
Love it. So best advice she's given you.
Yes, yes, yes.
What's the best advice she's given you?
To trust God. To trust God, believe in God, and to just do good. Mm-hmm. And knowing that if I receive evil in return, it's not going to last for long. Ooh. Because I mean, there's nothing special about me. We're never promised that it will be easy. You know, it's just that you'll be able to come out of it. Because if you're not strong, you're not going to be able to rise up.
Yeah.
And be like the prodigal son that says, even in my father's house, like if I wash plate there, it's better than this pigsty. So let me just swallow my pride and move and then see what happens. So that's it. Ooh.
Love that. What is one book that has helped you with your thrive?
I'm not really into books that, you know, these books that write 10 ways to do this and all that. I don't
self-help. The Bible. You talked about Job. The
Bible. You know, I don't see it as a book. Maybe I should see it as a book.
It's a book.
It's a book. It's a book.
You said Job got you out of a very dark place.
Yes. Job, the Bible.
Yes. Love
the
that.
The Bible. Yes.
What is one daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
My exercise. Hey. My fitness. Hey. It's help me 10 times a day.
Talk to us about fitness, Kate.
Oh, I am an exercise addict. I can be in the gym for 3 hours. It's like, it even works for me because my time is my own. So where we rush into one class after the next, hey, we're here all day if we have to be. I'll go running on a Saturday morning. Nothing else. I'm going to run from 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock, 9 a.m. Anywhere there's activity. If he's dancing, put me in there. Zumba.
Woo!
I'm right in there.
You know what?
There's yoga.
May 23rd. I'm collaborating with my bestie who's she's fire and a really amazing fitness guru on a Zoom. You're gonna have to do it. Everything's
I want
to
do it, please.
Bubbling. We're gonna be stepped in. We're gonna be
I want to. My Zumba instructor is on Instagram. She's anytime she sees me, she doesn't see me, say, Kate, I've missed you. I need your energy in this class because I'm the wild one. I'm always in for like, okay, come on, let's go. Oh, you can do it. I'm like,
okay, it's going to be live. It's going to be lit. I'll let you know what it is.
Yes.
Okay. What is one app on your phone that helps you with your thrive? An app you love?
It will be Twitter. It'll be Twitter. There's some crazies there, you know. There's some crazies in there, you know. But lovely people I've met. Some I've never met. But the energy we bring to the space, it's much more. How do I say it? It's like a war zone.
Yes, it is.
Instagram.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Instagram is like milk tea
because it's pictures. You have to actually words.
Twitter. They will test your intelligence. What have you written? What kind of English is this? What do you really mean? Can you defend this statement? And then the banter there. And then you also learn from a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. Okay. Twitter is
your thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is one misconception of people have of you as they see Kate?
That I'm arrogant. I'm very arrogant. Yes, that I'm arrogant and rude.
Really?
You know, people, yeah, people, you know, people don't like to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. You need to put some cherry on top for that. I speak straight. Someone says, if you don't want to hear this truth, don't go and ask it. Mm-hmm. Don't go and meet her, because mm-hmm. she'll give it to you straight. And that's without prejudice. I'm just telling mm-hmm. you as it is. If you come to me, you're going to get it straight. Mm-hmm. I won't say anything behind you that I can't say in front of you. Mm-hmm.
But I believe that your straight comes from a place of love.
It is. It is, but people think, you know, I'm arrogant, I'm overconfident. Like someone tweeted the other day, like, oh, everybody was like, Kate, so nice, so humble. Oh, that Kate, there will always be that one person. Oh, that Kate, she walked into a place and she didn't greet. She just walked past. I'm like, okay, I don't know anybody there. I can't just come in like, hey. And what if you choose to ignore me? I'm like, who does she even think she is? So that might be your reaction. So I'm just calm. If you say hello, I'll say hello back. But I'm not going in like, no. Yeah. I'm just going to where I'm designated to sit. And if you say hello, I'll say hello. But don't expect me just, hey. Especially if I don't know anybody there. If I'm seated on a table, I'm like, good afternoon, how are you? But hey, you know people, they'll be like, uh-huh, who are you? They're Nigerians. They can just try to put you down. Like, who is she? Oh, I don't know her. Ah, you know.
But yeah. here's one thing I've learned, and I learned it like the whole video going viral, because last year went viral on different platforms. The one thing I've learned is the comments. First of all, I've learned not to listen to the comments.
Thank but
I
recognize you. It took me a while. Go on.
The comments are important, because the comments show that you're doing something that is big, right? Yes. Because you have to remember, those people are the ones trolling.
Yes. Yes.
Finding you, reading yes. what you're doing, and then commenting back.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you're busy doing greater stuff.
And you're following me. I'm still trying to understand that. Why follow me if you're going to, you know, there were abuse, but you're following. You haven't unfollowed. You haven't blocked me. Are you just, you need, you're living your life vicariously through me. You need me. You need to deal with me.
So what I always say is we're like Amazon, because Amazon is a giant. They are so busy creating amazing things. They don't have time to pay attention. Right. So continue being Amazon.
Yay.
So in parting, what is one big advice? Maybe it's the greatest advice you've received. But again, I'm putting you on the world stage right now. The biggest advice that you can give and leave this world with on this, you know, in this episode.
It's like a mishmash. It would be to be yourself, you know, stand true to what you believe in, even if the crowd is on the other side. You need to just don't go with the crowd, you know, because they can change their mind at any point in time. So believe in what, you know, stand for what you believe in, even if the crowd is on the other side. And a line from Beyonce's song, I Was Here.
Girl, you and I are too much alike. Do you know
I love that song.
That song is on my repeat.
I have it on my iPod. I Was Here. You know, I don't know if you guys did this in school. In secondary school, when we're passing out, we used to write on the wall. You didn't do that.
Write your name?
When you're leaving, like, yeah, yeah. Kate was here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
1988. You leave your mark on the wall. So the next set that come in, they'll say, oh, is that, you know, start finding out. So I was here. I was here on earth.
Yeah, I love that. And let me just say, you were here in this episode, in this time, the space that we created for each other. I thank you. I learned, someone said this to me the other day. I thank you for sharing energy with me today.
You're just amazing. Your muscles, Nkechi. Your hair. I've always wanted red hair. You will not believe it. As a young girl, I used to have this. It was called Crazy Color in a plastic tube. Red, fire red, fire red. And if you ask my hairstylist, Yellow CC, she's on Instagram. You can go and ask her. I said, I want red, this black, red. I want red fire. When I come out, the sun hits it, you see flames. You know, sorry.
No, but let me tell you something. This is happy hair. Get it. Do it.
She's like, Kate, I'm like, Kelechi, I want red. I want my hair to be colored red. fire red, please. Like, hey, kid, I'll do henna for you. I'm like, no, I don't want henna. I want red. So coming out of this lockdown, at least let a section be fully red. You see, can't do all that.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Yes. I can't wait.
This life is wait. Only one. One life.
I can't wait.
Let me
I
do it
wait.
Before the world ends. Red hair is what I want.
I love that. If I can say this, I love you. You are such a beautiful spirit. You are doing great things in this world. I thank you for using your platform to really share love.
Thank you.
And I'm so grateful for you.
Same here, sister. Can I call you sister?
You call me sister.
See, when you said Nketiere on that speech, I'm like, see, the name, the explanation of the name, God's gift. Come on.
Yes, my mom, very proud of
I
that.
I matter.
Yes. We matter. Yes. And everyone that's listening to this.
Who matter with you.
Yes. Yes. And as a final message to everyone listening, you matter.
You matter.
You matter. And this is where I say we're out. Woo!
We're out. I love you so much. Thank you.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.